All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
All right, what's going on? Welcome to Wheel Wednesday. We are back. It's Wednesday.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
That's Scott. I'm Nick.
He's act 100%
to introduce ourselves.
I was like geared in. I was all ready. So
you're ready for today's topic.
I was ready. So before we get started, let's kick off by saying that we are kind of a little past midway with our wheel giveaway.
Yeah, I think next week will be the last time that we mention the wheel giveaway in our podcast, because the week after that we should be announcing the winner, because that's going to be September.
Right, something like that. So without looking at a calendar, that feels right.
It feels right. Point after Labor Day.
If you haven't had a chance, make sure you head over. Hopefully you're subscribed. If you're watching this on YouTube, hopefully you're subscribed already, because that's one of the pieces you need to do. And the second piece is to be able to subscribe to our newsletter. That's at koenigwheels.com/subscribe. I'm sure that Nick will go ahead and
stop doing that, because
he forgets, but then he does it in other things we do and then forgets to put it in there too.
Just to stop that. Anyways,
just to recap, you have to be subscribed to our newsletter, and you have to be subscribed to our YouTube channel.
So if you're listening on the podcast, you don't see me looking at the camera right now, but if you're listening on iTunes, head over to YouTube, hit the subscribe button, go to koenigwheels.com/subscribe. Subscribe to our newsletter. It's a very small application. What do you ask for? Your name, address?
Yeah, it's not really an application, but it's a small form.
Your name, your email, and a
couple little questions. And then
it's very short, very quick. Yep. And, you know, the benefits of being signed up is, people that are already signed up are already entered to win.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, we're not just taking on new people. We're taking everybody that's already been signed up and already subscribed. We actually had a comment on our Instagram last week about that. Somebody asked us, they're like, oh, I'm already subscribed to both. So does that mean I'm entered? And we were like, yeah.
Yeah.
You are automatically entered.
We've answered that. I think I've answered that alone 5 times. I know Luis has answered it a bunch. And the truth is, that's the point of doing this. This isn't a point just to try to make you watch something or so. The point is that we're really trying to provide, produce, and do things for people that have been really supportive to us. And the newsletter is one of those things. The people that got the newsletter the first time it came out last week, we told you about the contest. We gave you some content in there. The giveaway. We told you about the giveaway. So there's things that will happen there. And also, we're going to try to randomly choose people that are on our subscribers list, on our email list, and just do something nice for them. So you may just get an email one day from us, and it says, hey, you know, what shirt size are you? And what's your address?
Congratulations, you get a shirt.
Right.
Just because.
So that's really what it's for. And it's kind of a thank you, and we're just trying to push content through there. Maybe we'll make a couple of wheel announcements right around SEMA time when we release some new wheels, but our intention was not to do this to spam you with buy our wheels.
Yeah, because we're not those kind of people. I hate those kind of people. I don't know. Anyways, all right, so let's get into today's topic. What do we got today?
I have no idea. I think...
Well, so, all right. So I guess we can start with this. So last week we kind of spoke about, using Koenig wheels on the track, and you had mentioned that Kevin Lawrence had a blowout, and he wound up still driving the car back to the pit without the.
Oh, all right. So you're talking about when he DB'd in Formula D.
Yeah.
So, and he rode back on the wheel.
Right. So in a scenario like that, what do you do with that wheel? Is that a repairable wheel, or do you have to? I'm sure he had another set on there, but what does he do with that wheel?
What do you do when you break a wheel? Well, I would.
Or
yeah.
A bend so I, or crack or.
Yeah. So I I would say that wheel. Just at the fact that it was used for racing, we would have he would just
send him another one.
He would have scrapped.
Yeah.
He
so what about for
the drift teams and the race teams? They all have extra extra wheels. Because I think, you know, I think the one thing that people don't realize with wheels is that, so you're used to brake pads being a wearable object.
Right.
Right? You're used to bushings being at some point.
You got to replace them.
Correct.
I don't want to talk about how much I spent for the shop to just put in new bushings on my car.
But. I get it. Yeah, it's a more annoying thing. Low cost, a lot of labor, right?
Pretty much, yeah. The bushings were stupid cheap. I remember looking at that invoice and I was like, oh, fuck, I should have just did it myself.
Yeah. But the one thing that we don't get into a lot is that wheels are a wearable item.
Right.
They're a wearable item. And a lot of people buy wheels and they treat them as a forever purchase.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you couldn't have wheels for the lifetime you own the car. I'm not saying that, that you couldn't buy a set of wheels and you'll, take great care of them and not have road hazard and a whole bunch of things. And they will be perfectly good to the day you decide to either take them off the car, sell the car, or the car goes to heaven for other reasons. Yeah. But what people don't understand is that wheels are a wearable item, and the same way
things happen to them, especially driving in New York.
Well, but we're not just talking about I'll get into it a little bit, but
In general, like anything could happen. Your wheels could crack. You could curb them. Curbing is definitely something, especially those dudes with the stretch tires and the really really wide wheels. That used to be me. I scratched my wheels once. I cringed. So I saw this lady scratch her entire rim one time. Brand new car. She must have just washed and detailed it and everything. Everything was shiny. Goes right to the curb. I was upset for her.
Yeah, it's a pretty awful sound to hear. Especially if you're standing next to somebody. But, I think that the one thing to understand about wheels is that they are a wearable object, wearable item. The same way as brake pads have a life and clutches have a life, wheels could potentially have a life. And if you're using them in a race setting, if you're using them in a race application, if you're using them, for very harsh use, it's always good to inspect them. It's always good to, to have a routine. If you're cleaning your car, if you're cleaning your wheels, it's a good time to, you change your oil every once in a while. Like,
check
pop a wheel off.
Every once in a while.
Check them out.
Make sure everything's good with
Absolutely.
Them.
Because, look, some of the things that will cause the life of a wheel? I mean, look, wheel damage is possible, not with just our wheels, with any wheels.
Yeah.
Right? If you use them on the track, you are moving and working that metal to some really harsh environments, a lot of loading up of the wheels in different capacity, and that movement and that flex and different things that happens time after time for many uses is what would prematurely cause that to start to shorten that lifespan.
Right.
The same way as if you had hard braking, right? Hard braking is going to
where your brake.
You're going to shorten the brakes, and if you drive in more stop and go traffic, and it's the reason that you can't put necessarily a recommended mileage on brake pads. Right. But
if you constantly drive in dead stop traffic, then your brake pads aren't going to last as long if you just did
more on
primarily
the
highway driving.
100%. And so if you use that analogy and apply them to wheels, it's similar. You know what I mean? You could do other things to shorten the life of your wheels. So continuous, kind of having a routine inspection period of your wheels, kind of making sure that you kind of give them a glance over. OE wheels, aftermarket wheels, three-piece wheels, two-piece wheels, one-piece wheels, doesn't matter. Same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
So then are there ways for repair on wheels, or is it better to just replace it?
Does it depend on
the damage that's done to it?
I agree. I think it depends on the damage, and I also think it depends a lot on, what your expectations are, what kind of wheel it is, if it's a machined wheel, is it a custom color, what is it going to take to replicate that wheel back to its original condition? Anything can be done with money. If you've seen that show American Pickers, they restore things that are like a million years old.
This is not sponsored.
The truth is that I think, as far as repairing a wheel, that's not something we really can give good advice on.
I guess generally, depending on the kind of wheel it is, it might just not even be worth repairing it, especially if it's a wheel that you got for like a super affordable price.
Right. Because you know, they may charge cause you $150, $200 per wheel to repair.
Oh, even more. I know people that charge even more than that to repair wheels. That's and it's like, you know, for half the price, you can just buy a new wheel and mount the tire on it and call it a day, as opposed to repairing that.
Maybe, and in some cases, but, you know, in OE wheels, they have an exchange program a lot, so there'll be a flat rate, but...
Yeah.
You know, look, I mean, that's according to it. I think that maybe we should go into this a little bit differently. Maybe we should talk about some of the things you could do to prevent wheel damage.
Okay. So...
All right, let's talk about some things. Here are some things you guys could do to prevent wheel damage and extend the life of that wheel.
Step one, use your mirrors so you don't hit the curb.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's go right into that. So curbing, like, you know, listen, I don't know how people do this, but I will tell you this, that I have, when I'm in my 350Z and I'm parking it.
You park 10 feet from the curb.
Well, first I barely take it out of the garage. But when I'm driving it and I'm going to park somewhere, I do the same thing. I'll pull in to a spot, or I'll pull into on the street if I'm parking.
Mm-hmm.
I go in, but I purposely leave a good amount of distance between me and the curb, and always back up using my mirrors to get close to the curb. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I'll back up and kind of angle it in this way. I know then I can just pull straight forward, and I know I'm not going to be on top of that curb.
Right, and that takes practice. Like when I first put, you know, widened wheels on my first car, I was terrible. I would always park like super far away. It was my first car. I still wasn't used to like the dynamics. And then like once I got the Miata, it was so tiny. I was just like, oh, like this is perfect. Like I don't even need to use my mirrors. I could look out the freaking window and see outside the other side of the car. But yeah, definitely like trying to keep some distance from the curb when you're parking.
Sure. You know, so curbing, I mean, you know, that's the thing, you know, and there's different types of curbing, right? Because most people are thinking the curbs that are on the street, and if you're a race guy, you're thinking the curbs that are on the track. And so curbing a wheel, you know, if you're going, you know, pretty quickly through turns and you're, you know, bouncing off curbs, you know, at the track, you know, I'm not saying it's going to damage every time, but like, you know, the one thing you should consider is the fact that you're putting the wheels, any wheels, through an enormous amount of stress and strain there. So that's one of those ones you want to continuously inspect.
What would be an example of curbing at the track? Obviously we get some, but like in FD, let's say, like how would?
Not
FD.
It's not. It's going to be more. It's going to be more like road racing.
More road racing.
Mostly in FD, they're going to have wall barriers or clipping points. They'll never come close to that. I mean, so if they're going to do something, they're going to wall check something or. The only exception I can really think of in drifting is probably tracks like Atlanta, where they actually have rumble strips. So if you are an FD fan and you're familiar with Road Atlanta, they have a big hill that they start down, and they come down this big hill and into this first turn, and there's rumble strips right at the edge of the track right there, and a lot of guys – they dip a tire into that rumble strip, and that will just eat things up.
Ooh.
But anyhow, so curbing when you're racing, it's, you know, if you're bouncing off curbs, you know, cause that's what you use to kind of make your way through, through the track. Just, you know, be conscious, inspect a lot of the race guys, they know this already. This is not news to them, but they'll inspect their wheels, you know, before they go out every session, or they'll inspect their wheels at least before they go out every day.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important. Other things to do to prevent wheel damage, proper air pressure. This is one of those things that every single time that somebody damages a wheel, I feel like 90% of the time it probably has something to do with this.
What do you mean by proper air pressure? So like if you're too low, maybe it's like too soft and like if you had a pothole, you'll bend it or...
Yeah. So the one thing is having proper air pressure in a tire is what allows the tire to have the cushion. Now, this kind of leads into probably something I'll bring up next, but proper air pressure is important because you have the vehicle manufacturer air pressure, which is what I believe should always be followed. But if you put aftermarket tires on your car, or if you go to a different size than was originally on the car,
yeah,
that manufacturer may have a different tire pressure recommendation as well.
For their wheels.
More air pressure will give you more cushion, more protection, but it will also make the ride a little harder. So, you know, what happens is, you know, guys that have TPMS sensors, you'll know when the wheel gets, when the air pressure gets too low.
Guys that don't, you need to check.
When it don't, right, and that's the thing, you know, you get used to walking around your car and just kind of doing a quick once over with your visual, but as time goes on, you know, whether it be
air and...
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have leaky valve stems, sometimes you have situations where, you know, the cold and heat and different heat cycles will cause a little bit of loss of air here and there. I mean, in theory, they hopefully shouldn't, but it does.
It happens.
So checking your air pressure in your tires routinely, I would say, you know, I don't want to give a good interval, but at least, you know, I think if you're going to be over, I would say every time you get gas. But everybody's going to be like, oh, you're an idiot. Like, that's too much. That's,
yeah.
But the truth is, if you're on the road that much, that probably is the right frequency.
I actually can't remember the last time I checked the pressure in my
head. That's usually what happens. And usually when people say, oh, I know I had proper air pressure, it's because they, like, looked at it before they got in the car. And that doesn't always do
it. Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
Especially with low pro tires.
Yeah. To get a little bit off topic, motorcycles as well. I didn't even realize, but the motorcycle I used to have was very low on air, but looking at it, you couldn't really tell.
Right.
It was just like, oh, like the bike's ready to go. The tires felt pretty hard when you pushed on them. And then, like, I was riding it. That's how I noticed. I was riding it, and I was like, it feels kind of soft. I checked the pressure on it, and I was like, ooh,
I'm really down. Yeah.
I was like, I should fix this now.
No, that's a really good tip, because wheels are not just exclusive to cars.
Yeah.
So these same tips would apply there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So proper air pressure. Make sure you have the proper air pressure in your tire. It provides a cushion. It provides a protection. And, you know, it's really important. So that's one. Road hazards. I mean, look where you're going.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, yeah. I mean, we've brought up New York and stuff like that. We have harsh roads.
Know, and stuff happens. You could get a nail or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more thinking of things like the debris in the roadway, driving over things that's, you know, I mean, speed bumps at speeds that are far in excess of speed bumps. I mean, I don't know why you do that, but
I fly over speed bumps in the CRV, but that's a different story.
Right. and, you know, and also things like, you know, potholes, manhole covers, dips in the road that are extreme.
Dips are the worst, because those are harder to see. You don't see them, especially if your car is low. I scratch my lip on those all the time. It's just one dip. Oh, yeah. It's like, no, why?
No, I know. So be careful. Be careful with that stuff. Those are the things that you want to be very, very meticulous about when you're driving with wheels, any wheels. Everybody knows when they hit something really hard and they feel like the suspension came through the bottom of the car. They hear that bump stop hit and it's like, right. So, I mean, look. That's the times you know you hit stuff, but there's a lot of things that you happen, you know, over years. You know, if you have a wheel for 5-10 years and you're constantly hitting these mild potholes, right? But nothing earth shattering.
Yeah.
You could potentially.
Something could still happen.
Well, you could shorten the life of the wheel again by causing the wheel to start to fatigue.
Right.
Right? It's metal, not magic. I've said that before.
You said that last
week. Yeah. But the truth is, like, I mean it.
That should be your slogan.
I know. I'm going to get a t-shirt made. It's going to say metal, not magic, right?
Should do an animation. Just you with a thumbs up.
I don't know.
We're going to do that. Like this video if you want to see me do that to Scott.
So, all right. So we did, let's see. We talked about road hazard, potholes, stuff like that. Curbing, air pressure, proper tire size. Man, listen. There's a lot of people that the way that they size tires for their vehicle is by, you know, they saw it on a friend's car. That's what they need to fit the wheel on their car because they've lowered it so much. That's what they need to, you know.
They stretch the hell out of their tires and their cars look freaking sick.
But when we say the correct tire size, we're talking about a couple things. The first thing is we're talking about
recommended tire size.
The recommended tires, the right tire size to keep the correct overall rolling diameter for your vehicle. That's one.
Right. Okay.
the second one properly loaded, weight loaded tires. That probably is more applicable to trucks and different things, but
right.
you should always make sure that the manufacturer says this is correct for your vehicle's load rating. The next thing that you need to think about with the size tire is it correct for the approved rim width that I'm putting it on,
right?
If you put a, you know, I know, and it's very difficult to talk about things like when we talk about wheels in general,
mm-hmm.
235, I can't give a general size, but if you put a wheel or a tire on a 9.5-inch wide wheel, when it was only supposed to only be on a wheel up to 9 inches or up to 8.5 inches.
Right. If you're stretching the tire.
And sometimes it doesn't always visually look that stretched. So I just think do your homework. Make sure you're getting the right thing. Proper tire size is key and clutch. We had a thing years ago where somebody had damaged a wheel and a lot of it had to do when we ended up finding out what tire size. I mean, they were using a rubber band. I mean, nothing. Listen, I mean, that's one of those things. You have to be very, very cognizant about right. what you're putting on your car.
So I've heard a lot of things on the internet, and I've also lived through my own YOLO experiences. But how dangerous is it to have a stretched tire? For good example, the first set of wheels I ever bought, the tires were already mounted. I just threw them on my car. I knew they fit the car because they were on almost the exact same car. They were 16x8 with a 175/50, and this was on the Miata.
Bad.
Yeah.
Not good.
It was super stretched. So yeah. I never had an issue. I never leaked air. I never had any problems like that. But, you know, what are the risks in something like that?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is that when you stretch a tire, you are
more prone to a blowout or a DB'd.
1,000%. I mean, very much so. And, you know, the one thing that you have to keep in mind is that that tire is sitting on the wheel, you know, on that bead. And if you disturb that bead, you lose all the air out of the tire immediately.
Right.
Right? And that's usually when you see guys on the side of the road and the tire almost has wiggled its way off the car.
Yeah.
It's less the times that you see the blowouts. Blowouts usually come from having low tire pressure for a long period of time, and the tire is from circulating on the road.
Yeah, it like stretches.
The air actually absorbs the heat.
Yeah.
So when you don't have as much air in the tire, it can heat up more. And so what happens is when you lose air pressure, you get a nail in the tire and you just let it go and go and go, and the air pressure keeps going down. What ends up happening is the air gets very hot, and then you eventually have this blowout, right? And that's when the tire just can't take it anymore, blows apart. So you know, with a stretched tire, you'll have debeading things, but it can debead very quickly. It can immediately let – so you can have a catastrophic issue almost immediately with, you know, just a good impact or whatever it may be. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, listen – I don't want to knock anybody. The point, I think we've said this before in other podcasts, we're never trying to knock people. We're not trying to discourage people.
We're just talking about, you know, the things that come with doing all of these things.
Right. And also, we're trying to give information that you can use if you want to take it. But, you know, generally, if you have the improper tire size in your car and you damage a wheel, you know, that's the cause. That's neglect. That's not... look what happened here. This wheel failed, right? So you want to extend the life of your wheels. Make sure you have the proper tire size. And I think the last thing that we should talk about with wheel longevity, with preventing wheel damage, is making sure that you have a wheel that's the correct load rating. Now.
Well, what does that mean? What is load rating?
Yeah,
The amount of weight. I guess that section of the car can take, that corner of the car.
Yeah, so what we'll do is we'll probably do a quick video on load rating at some point. But load rating is essentially how much weight that wheel is approved to kind of hold statically.
Okay.
And let's talk about this real quick, and then we won't get too much into it. But you want to make sure you pick a wheel that's correctly load rated for your vehicle. For example, if you have a Tesla and it's a performance package where you have, you know, the bigger batteries, that vehicle may be in excess of 6,000 pounds, but that's not it. You can't, to get a load rating on a vehicle, you cannot take the overall gross vehicle weight and divide by four. Because
why not?
Because what happens is with every car, there's always an axle weight that's heavier. For example, in a front engine car, the front axle weight may be heavier. And in a rear engine car.
I got you.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So if you go by a quarter weight of the entire car.
You may be off in that one axle.
Yeah. You could. There could be more load in out of the front or the back, and that'll. It'll be more than what
it could potentially be more than that wheel if you try to divide by four.
Right.
So a Tesla Model 3 with the performance package has long-term batteries, the bigger batteries.
Right.
That car, I believe the gross vehicle weight is about 6,000 pounds, but the heavy axle weight, I think, is somewhere in the area of just over 3,000 pounds. Okay? So in this case, it kind of works out.
The question, the engine's in the front, right? Of the Model 3.
There is no engine because it's
electric.
I believe the
motors for the electric motors.
I think it depends. I think there's a dual motor car and a single motor car.
Okay.
You're asking me. We're getting
off topic.
I don't want to have every Tesla enthusiast destroying me.
Yeah.
But okay. but the weight of that you would basically divide. So you need to have a wheel that would be load rated in excess of, you know, let's say 1,550 pounds or something to that effect. And, if you were to, hypothetically, you were just to pick a set of wheels that you like that bolt on the car. The car is 5.4.5 or a 5.1.1.4.3. You put them on the car. You drive around. Everything's great. But then maybe 6 months from now or whatever it may be, you have an issue where the wheel fails, or, you know, not just our wheel, any wheel fails, and then you find out that the wheel was only load rated to 1,350 pounds or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Look, you know, static load rating is what that wheel was kind of made to hold. And really quick, static load rating means that the wheel, the weight of that corner of that wheel under that load. But now for guys that race, understand that load rating can greatly change, especially when you're adding in aero that includes downforce,
mm-hmm.
and you're dipping into a turn. You know, like the balancing of the car changes when you load in. Like when you're hard into a turn, you're diving down.
Yeah,
absolutely. So you're going to have more load rating. So you want to consider these things when you're picking your wheels. Make sure that you're in excess.
You don't want to have an exact load rating.
Right.
You always want to have a little bit extra for things like that.
Right. And, you know, I know, like, with our case, our wheels, our posted load rating is not exactly, we try to test higher than that in most cases. But take the load rating for a very, very, like, literal thing. If you have even any concerns that you're close to that load rating, that's not the right wheel for you.
Right.
Right? And find the one that is. Because again,
so how can you figure out what a good load rating is for your specific car? Like,
so go to your vehicle, open your door, and, you know, usually in the front with the tire stickers.
Okay.
There's that placard that tells you what the vehicle weight is.
Right.
Usually they'll have, you know, the gross vehicle weights by axle. You find the heaviest axle and divide by two.
Okay.
So if your heaviest axle is 1,600 pounds, you divide that by two.
Max load rating 800.
Well, I'm sorry, not pounds. I mean kg. So let's say your heaviest axle weight is 3,000 pounds. Divide by two.
1,500.
Right. You see what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So that's kind of how you want to go through that. But again, we don't want to get too much into it.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
But make sure, you know, again, load rating. If you're improperly load rated when you choose a wheel, that could be another reason that you could have potential wheel damage prematurely.
Right.
Right. So let's see. We went through air pressure, tire size, road hazards, curbing,
load rating.
And we talked about inspecting your wheels.
I mean,
that's the majority of it. Those are probably really good tips for preventing 99% of your wheel damage.
Yeah. Want to answer some questions?
Yeah, I do.
You need to use your phone. Mine is currently unavailable.
Let's see here. We put it up on Instagram?
Yeah, on our story.
All right, you get to figure it out.
Got this. There we go. All right. This is an interesting question. I guess we'll start with this one. What is the purpose of half-width size wheels, 7.5 or 9.5? In case you don't want a 7 or an 8.
I guess. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you know, so many cars take so many different wheel sizes.
Right.
And we, as an aftermarket wheel company, we try to give you – we'll do OE replacements, but majority of our business is people that are looking for a tougher stance,
right,
a more aggressive stance, or kind of a more not stock look.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Let's see. Not a question, but a compliment. Thanks for being cheap and reliable aftermarket wheels.
I mean, I would have used affordable instead of cheap, but all right, I'm with you.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I don't like cheap, but thank you. We greatly appreciate that. Yes. Will you make any wheels this year that are 5 by 120 with an offset over 45? Over 45?
I don't think so. The majority
wheels with a higher offset than 45?
We do, but in 5120, I think we made some Camaro stuff a few years ago that may be there. But I don't think so. And the reason is because I believe that, you know, most of the time we're doing 5120, it's majority for BMW.
Right.
Sometimes we do 5120. There are some other things, you know, like some minivans and different things, but most of our stuff is going to probably fall into that 35 offset range. That's kind of where most of the BMW stuff works. So I'm sorry, I don't think so.
Okay. This dude, again, huge supporter. We've actually spoke about him before. He's asking, what is the best looking OEM wheel you've seen on a car? I mean, I guess that's more opinion than fact. I mean, I don't know. What stock wheels do you think look pretty sick?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. I mean, I think there's some...
You know what I always thought was cool? That cars came factory with BBS wheels on them. I thought that was pretty cool.
But why?
I don't know. I just like how they look. Like, Miatas came with them. Mercedes back in the day came with them. Pretty sure BMWs came with them.
Yeah, but... Right.
I like how they look.
But like BBS and some of these other companies that, you know, that do OE wheels that actually are branded on the car. That's just a brand. Like, the wheel style is still... Anyhow. I don't know. I think some of the Lexus stuff is pretty cool. Lexus has done a pretty decent job at, you know, giving some of their wheels some shape and some, you know, concavity to them. I think that's pretty cool. I think Nissan always does a good job because I think some of the stuff that they do with Rays.
Nissan, the Z wheels, the 370Z Nismo wheels. Those wheels look pretty sick.
I guess. I don't know if I care for those, but I think some of the GTR wheels are pretty cool.
Those too.
I don't know. I mean, there's definitely, I mean, some. I think you mentioned it before, some of the G35, G37.
The Rays, the 19-inch Rays. I love how those look. One of my buddies actually on his G35, he upgraded to the Rays, and they actually, like, it looked like they had a lot of brake clearance.
They were developed to go around all those brakes.
Yeah. So, they look great. They look very sporty and, you know, pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. I guess on to the next question. I like this question. Will you ever do a compilation video of all sorts of makes and models with Kona wheels on them? I do want to do that. but more specifically, with the different types of lifestyles to, you know, driving. You know, you have a street car enthusiast. We have people that do track for FD, time attack, stuff like that. So I think it would be really cool if we did something implementing everybody and did maybe we'll do like a little promo video or something. Coding. I don't know. We'll do something fun. I definitely want to do that. So,
right.
You know, it's not in the forefront of everything, but sure. We'll think about it. Will the freeform be offered in 18x8 since the 17x8 is available?
No.
Okay. Fantastic. We won't get into why because we have a couple more questions. never mind. I'm not reading that next question. Sally McNulty. Hey, Sally, shout out to you. Thank you for choosing my race car. Hashtag Kony is the best. Yes. Yes, we are. Thank you, Sally. Appreciate you.
Anyhow.
Anyways.
Yeah, we like Sally. I'm just, you know.
All right. Well, the last question is for a 1992 Unos Roadster. What tire profile would you put on a 16-inch wheel?
I don't know. We're a wheel manufacturer, so I'm not going to answer the question.
God damn it. All right. That's it.
I thought that was Nick, so I avoided it.
No, it wasn't me. It was somebody else.
So that's it. Hopefully we were slightly informative today. And if you have any questions about anything we said, or if you want to see something specific, or we didn't elaborate on something that you really wanted to hear about what we talked about today, go ahead and comment below and leave us a message or something like that, and we'll do our best to answer it.
Right.
Yep. And make sure you head over to the giveaway and subscribe to our email list and to our YouTube channel. Listen, get yourself in, got to be in it to win it.
True.
Right? And that's it. I think we're out of here for this Wheel Wednesday, and we'll catch you next Wednesday. All right? Peace.
Later.